May please, as we turn to Psalms chapter 42 this evening, take a few moments here in this psalm. We could probably title this psalm, A Thirst for God. The writer may have been David while he was in exile. Written to the chief musician, the title of it, for the sons of Korah. Chief musician may have been dedicated to the master of music. We know that this tribe, or this group of people, were a family of Levitical singers, and so this psalm may have been dedicated without any doubt to be arranged to music. He says here, as we come to verse 1, let me just read a few verses, and he says, "As the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? My tears have been my meat day and night, and while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" Father, we thank you this evening for loving us. We thank you for these psalms. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us to assemble together here this evening. And God, we ask your blessings and anointing upon the reading of thy scripture. And Father, as we said, it's already been mentioned, Lord, we pray for the missionaries this evening, dear God, your blessings upon them in other places and parts of the world. And Father, this evening we pray also for the persecuted church that's around the globe, dear God, that's going through tremendous trials and tribulations this week, Lord, that just because of what they believe and the Word of God that they carry and study and preach from and witness from. Lord, we pray, dear Lord, for this country and throughout our land for the, Lord, as I heard a missionary or a native preacher in China say some years ago, God, that he prayed for America, for the materialism in this country and the covetousness and Lord, the apathy. He asked prayer, Lord, for his people that they would endure persecution and that we in America could endure the materialistic society in which we live. And Father, we pray for both of these tonight. We pray, God, that you meet with us. We pray, God, tonight for forgiveness of our sins and our shortcomings, dear Lord, and our apathy and our ignorance, dear God. We pray this evening that you forgive us of these things. Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. The psalm, again, very well may be dedicated to be arranged in music. We know that the psalms were sung, and this whole psalm, as we began, and I'm not going to belabor this evening, but we're going to make a few comments about it and come and pray. But the entire psalm is talking basically about confidence in God and not to be cast down or overwhelmed by the things that are around us. This is the cry of a man removed probably from the outward ordinances and the worship of God Almighty and longing to be in the house of God. We don't see that much in America today. But here's a man that was longing to be in public worship. We find if David wrote the psalm, we find his zeal to be in service of God. You're going to see that as we, especially in verse 4, he talks about the house of God and the voice of the rejoicing and the multitudes that were going to the house of God. And so here's a man's cry for the outward ordinances and the worship of God Almighty. And as we begin here in verse 1, we see the intense longing of the soul for God. He says in verse 1, "As the hart panteth," and that's just simply a deer. He said, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Now I want you to notice here the intense longing of the soul for God, and I want you to turn to a few psalms with me in this and turn to chapter 63. And we'll be looking in many weeks to come in chapter 63, another wonderful psalm. Notice in chapter 63, the longing of the heart. We find an expression here in these psalms of the desire to behold, to hold rather, have communion with the Lord. And again, this is something that's missing many times among people in our society. But in chapter 63, reading from verse 1, he said, "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee, and my soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And here's what the writer is saying. He's saying, Lord, in verse 2, "And to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." He said in verse 3, "Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise Thee." And again, without any doubt, David probably is the author of this psalm while in the wilderness. And he's praying to the Lord in this psalm. He's saying, "Lord, early will I seek Thee." He said, "My soul thirsteth after Thee." He said, "My flesh longeth for Thee." And he said, "I want to see," in verse 2, "I want to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." And David said, "I want to see Your power. And I want to see Your glory again as I have seen in the past." Notice in Psalms chapter 84. Notice in Psalms chapter 84. We'll just take a few of the Psalms. If you're taking notes this evening, you might want to write down Isaiah 26 verses 8 and 9, which basically speak of the same thing. But in Psalms chapter 84, reading from verse 2, we find here that he says this. He says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." He says in verse 3, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her head, even Thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in Thy house, and they will be still praising Thee." Turn again one other time in Psalms 143. Now we find this thought and this request several times as we come through the book of Psalms. We're going to be reading verse 6 and 7 this time. And again, we have a thirst for God, an intense longing of the soul for God Almighty. In Psalms chapter 143, be reading in verse 6 and 7, we find here he said, "I stretch forth my hands unto Thee." And he said, "My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land." He said in verse 7, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not Thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." Again, in this verse, we see the thirsty soul. Turn back with me to chapter 42. Now again, as the hart, the deer, needs abundant water, and as the deer panteth, like brayeth or crieth out, and it'd be like maybe a deer that there's been a drought and it's looking for water, or maybe it is being hunted and it's seeking relief after running and so forth, and seeking relief and help and needing something to drink. And notice with me as we come back here now in verse 1. And again, as we come to this, and you know, Brother Richard could explain this to you better than I could. He's run many of them, you know, to the water brook. David's saying, "I'm as that deer. You know, I'm as that deer that is panting for water." He said, "My soul is this way for God Almighty." How many people do you know today that is that way? Could you count them all on one hand or two hands? How many of you know that really that they feel this way as David is crying out here in this passage? He says in verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, and so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." Now in verse 2, and he says in verse 2, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Thee?" Probably the appearance here in this particular case, more than likely, is talking about coming to the tabernacle. The temple was not built in the days of David. And probably talking about the tabernacle. But notice that he says, "My soul thirsteth for God." Notice, for the living God. Let's take two quick passages on this, John 7 and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In John chapter 7, David, whoever the writer is, the psalmist, he's saying that my soul thirst is for God. Notice in John chapter 7, we find that in the time in which we live, that many thirst for riches and for honor, and they thirst for rank and positions and things like that. But the writer, the psalmist, is saying, I'm thirsting for God. I want the Lord. I want to appear before His presence. I want to be in the presence of the living God. Notice with me in John chapter 7, just a few verses from this chapter. You see, the soul strongly desires acquaintance with God here in His ordinances, and that's what we're seeing here. Devout souls always have a thirst for God Almighty. Only God can satisfy the thirst. And many people do not realize that. The people today that are spiritually dead, and there's even Christians that do not understand. Only God can fill the void. Only God can satisfy this thirst. You can search it in all other ways, and they never, no matter what it is, it never brings eternal satisfaction. The Bible even tells us in Romans, I'm not asking you to turn there, but in verse 28 it makes this statement, said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. There's many today that do not like to retain God in their knowledge. John 7, verse 37 said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if a man thirst, and let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, and he says, the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Talking about drinking, talking about the Spirit here as living water. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I was thinking about this and the thirsty soul. I preached yesterday morning in a preacher's meeting. I haven't done that in a long time. I was asked to come to preach, and they'll ask me sometime, and then they'll forget, you know, why they had asked me to come. They forgot what I preached maybe a year ago or something. And so, but anyway, there were three of us that preached, and one of the preachers got up, and he's made this statement. I know I've known this man for years, and he made this statement. He's probably been pastoring at least 30 years, and he made this statement. He said, I'm weary and I'm tired. Today's in his early 60s maybe. And he said, I'm not tired of preaching. He said, I'm not tired of knocking on doors and witnessing and serving the Lord. But he said, I am weary and I'm tired and I'm wore out from trying to convince Christians why that they need to attend the house of God. He said, I'm tired of trying to convince Christians that they need to serve God. He said, I'm tired of the excuses that they come up with, you know, when it comes to church time and so forth. And I understand, you know, what he's saying, you know, about that. He said, I'm just weary. I'm tired. He said, I've just about had enough, you know, dealing with these kind of things. He said, I love preaching. I love serving the Lord. I love witnessing. But he said, I'm tired of trying to convince people that they need to do something for God. Well, we find that the psalmist had a thirst in his soul for God Almighty. He couldn't get enough of the Lord. Amen. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, he not only said, I have a thirst for God, but he said, I have a thirst for the living God. Notice, I want you to come with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. We'll begin reading in this chapter long about verse 2. Paul writing to the church, and by the way, the Thessalonians had went through much persecution. They were one of the churches that was persecuted. We'll read it in this chapter. And then in chapter 2, in verse 14 and 15, they had went through persecution. When you go into 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. The Apostle Paul's writing to them in 2 Thessalonians 1. And he said in verse 4, he said, I want you to be patient, stay in the faith. He said, I understand your tribulations and persecutions and that you have endured. He said, be patient. And he said, endure. He said, one day the Lord is coming again. So the Thessalonians had been through a lot of opposition. So notice he says in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 2, Paul makes a statement about him. He said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. He said in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Notice, and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Many times the gospel only comes in word to many people. It does not have the powering effect of saving power and so forth, and it only comes in word. But he's commending the Thessalonians, the church here. He said in verse 6, he said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now notice this. They received the word in much affliction, but they received it in joy of the Holy Ghost. They were persecuted, they were afflicted, and still yet they received the word of God with joy. They not only got saved, but they had a hunger in their soul for the living God. He goes on to say in verse 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Notice that this church is going through persecution. And still yet, they became an example of faith and love to all the other churches in the region. He said in verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. He's saying that you were going through persecution. You were being afflicted. But he said your faith has went out to all of these areas. And he said your faith and the word has spread abroad that we not even speak anything. This was a diligent church. And then he said in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And how, notice, you turned to God from idols. Notice that the Thessalonians were not as some of the Jews were that had gotten saved. Many of the Jews had gotten saved. They were under the law. They're under Judaism. They knew the truths of the commandments and so forth and waited for the Messiah to come, and they received Him. But the Thessalonians were Gentiles. They were idol worshippers. And now that they've gotten saved, he said in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, notice, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So he's saying that they not only turn from their idols, but they turn to serve the true and living God. Turn back with me to Psalms. Chapter 42. Many Christians, I wonder if God is really living and He's true and He's real, you know, in their lives. Well, we find then the psalmist is crying out, and he said in verse 2, he said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Thee? Look at all the things in the world that we get excited about. I seen somebody day before yesterday that was excited about a football game. Another that was excited about a baseball game. This World Series that it takes it 10 years to finish, amen. But I seen, you know, and that's some of the boringest stuff that I've ever witnessed in my life is those things. But people get all excited about these things, and they do not have any excitement in their life about the truths of the Word of God. He says in verse 3, notice this. He says in verse 3, the writer, the psalmist, had went through terrible troubles. He said in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David was persecuted, or whoever the psalmist is, was persecuted just as the Thessalonians and many others. We find here that he talks about his tears. Instead of eating, he was weeping. Sorrow many times will take our appetite away from us. It will destroy our desire for food. Persecutions and troubles and things and anxiety will do that. And he said that they're saying to him, where is thy God? They're implying to this psalmist that God had forsaken them. Forsaken the individual that's writing. So they're pointing fingers and they're implying here that God, that they, this individual had been forsaken by God. And many times the enemy will do that. You know, even Satan, he came before Jesus Christ and in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. And you remember he came and tempted the Lord. And he said, if thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, you see. And came and tempting him. And then in verse 4, he says, and when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that keep holy day. Well, in this passage, I believe that the writer is remembering some things. He's a recollection of the past. He sees his persecution and his enemies and the afflictions and the things that he's going through, the tears that he has shed. And I believe that he's looking back and he remembers the time when he had the opportunity to go with the multitude, the congregation, to the house of God. He remembers the time, the happy days, and he compares the condition of then and now. And he remembers the time when he could join himself with the multitude and go in celebration. And he could go with in public worship. Notice that again. He said, and when I remembered these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. He said, I went with them to the house of God. And with a voice of joy and praise. And a multitude that kept holy day. He's saying, I've been to all the feast days and the special holy days of the Lord. And we sang and we praised the Lord and we did all these things. He said, I remember these happy times that I had with the congregation of God Almighty. He's saying, but it's a lot of tears right now. And he's saying to the Lord, I need your help. The Sabbath day to this writer was one of the days of heaven. The Sabbath day was a day that he looked forward to, that he couldn't wait at one time for the Sabbath day and to gather with the people of God and to be a part of that society and that community of the children of God as they came together and worshiped and gave sacrifice and sang and praise and fellowship with one another. But he's saying it's not like that at the moment. And then he says in verse 5, he said, in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Have you ever asked that question to yourselves? Have you ever talked to yourself? And he said in verse 5, why art thou cast down? Cast down, anxious of mind, troubled, internal weeping and mourning and crying. And he says here, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of thy countenance. The countenance here. We're going to see that word again. Here it's talking about probably the countenance of God. And to see the light of God's countenance here is to enjoy His presence and His favor. Favor here is expressed in this passage, and the scriptures, the scriptural way, by the way, is in finding relief from anxiety of spirit is simply in the verses that we're following right now, to trusting in the Lord, confidence in the Lord, turning to the Lord. This is exactly what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16. They're beaten, they're thrown in jail. And at midnight they began singing the praises of God Almighty. And we find that it turned to their release. They were singing in the prison. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6, and Ziklag there, when David and his men got back to this city, and he found out that the enemy had destroyed and carried off their wives and their children and their possessions, and the army was about to, they wanted to do David in. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself, what? In the Lord. He turned to the Lord, as the psalmist here is saying. And so he says in the middle of that verse, "Hope thou in God." And he said, "For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And in verse 6, he recalls on maybe, and I don't totally understand verse 6, but he's talking about his soul being cast down within him. And he cries out unto God, probably in exile, and he probably remembers the times in the past, maybe where they crossed the Jordan River. He mentions Jordan there. And he probably remembers Hermon there, where a battle was fought and won. Maybe there's some connection here. But again, he's talking about what are the remedies for depression. It's here in the Scriptures and in the Word of God. Notice in verse 7, he said, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts." And he said, "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." This is simply an image, probably of a storm at sea. This is a metaphor of a violent flood or storm. David at times felt like the entire enemy or the world was caving in around him. One fellow put it like this. He said, "Misfortunes come not in single file, but in battalions." And that's basically what the writer is saying. He's saying, listen, everything is going on around me in this passage. And then as we come to verse 8, he said in verse 8, "And yet the Lord will command His loving kindness." Now think about this. In our woes, in our problems, in our afflictions, he's saying that in the midst of that, that God will command His loving kindness and to make it apparent to us. He said in verse 8, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God, unto the God of my life." So he's saying that in the midst of these, he's saying that the Lord's loving kindness, His comfort in our hearts, he's saying God will command this and it will become apparent to us even in these storms. Then in verse 9, he says this, and by the way, he talks about in the daytime and the nighttime, and the heartache continues and to go on, you know, day and night. He says in verse 9, he says, "And I will say unto God my rock." Over and over he's called that solid rock. Chapter 18 and verse 1, 31 and verse 3, and many, many other places. He said, "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" And then he said in verse 10, "As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" Have you ever been asked, where is your God? What is God doing? Why are we going through these things? Has God forsaken us? The enemies twice in this passage said, "Where is thy God?" And then last of all this evening, he says in verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Very similar to verse 5. He said, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him." This is the way these Psalms end, is it not? It's all right to lay your petitions out before God. You know, I've had people say, "Well, so-and-so, they shouldn't be talking, worrying about their things." Well, God, it's okay to lay these things out before God. But we must end in praise to Him. And we must leave them before Him. You see, the only difference between us and somebody that's lost, we all have problems. Just because you get saved don't mean that you are free from problems in this life. The point is that we do have a God. We do have a place, an altar to kneel before whenever we are in trials and tribulations. So he says, "For I shall pray, yet praise him even in these things." Verse 7, he talks about the deep and deep into deep and the noise of the waterspouts and all the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Describing his trouble, he said, "Yet shall I praise thee." Then he says, "Who is the health of thy countenance?" In verse 11, "And my God." It looks as if he talked about the countenance of God in verse 5, which when we think about the countenance of God, we think about the face of God, the salvation of God, the favor of God. And then in verse 11, he says, "Who... For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Our faces reveal a lot, do they not? Our face testifies either of the happiness within or the sorrow that is within. It's hard to hide it. You can try to hide it. You can try to put on a smiley face. Sometimes, but our face reveals whether we are happy inside or whether that we're sad. Our countenance. Let's go to one passage, Hebrews 13:5. Many of you can probably quote this from memory. But let's close here and keep in mind in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, God said that He shall wipe away all tears. And Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5. We met a person today, and this person was distressed, and this person was going through a lot of problems the first time we've ever met them. And I had just pulled in the parking lot out here. This person pulled in behind us and going through some serious things that they believed to be in their lives. And you could see, not only from the tears falling off of this person's face as they got out of the automobile, but as we came in and my wife sat down and spent an hour and a half or so with this individual, you could see in her countenance the hurt and the sorrow. And when they left, after we spent time in the Scriptures and prayer, the countenance was different. We asked, "Why did you come here?" They live in Theodore and basically had said that in their area, and this must have been 2 or 3 months ago when we were there, I remember when we was in the area, that I believe she mentioned you had knocked on her door and left a tract and brochure while we were out on visitation. I said, "That's why I came here. Need some help." I use that as the countenance. You can tell what's a little bit about what's going on in somebody's life. We can put on those smiley faces, but you can tell. Somebody's got, huh?
I can't tell.
No, you can. And there's other, most of us can. We can try, but most of us can't.
I don't even try.
You know? And if we've got joy in our heart, it shows, man. This man's smiling ear to ear tonight. He's got joy in his heart. Hebrews chapter 13, closing in verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have." Oh, I wish we could believe that. I wish I could believe that. And he says where he said, help me out, "I will what? Never leave thee." That's a promise. And I believe the psalmist, whoever that he was in chapter 42, even though that wasn't written down, I believe he knew that promise that was in the Scripture and all the problems that he went through. I believe he knew that psalm. We'll stop right here.